Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Glad to be with you on this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the Facebook feed there as well, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. And our big thanks goes to all the dual folks out there for sharing that stream there yesterday. That's why we tag these players and coaches and schools and athletic programs and what have you. You know, we tag you so you can go ahead and get the word out for your squad and that sort of thing. Matt says, don't get me started, but we'll not get me started on that one. Speaking of which, he is the Cobra. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing okay.
Yeah, speaking of don't get you started.
Yeah.
Should I get you started on that?
No, you don't have to. I'm all right.
All right. What we're talking about over here is I was just on X here a few moments ago, and HBO is trending. And I gave it a click, and it was HBO Max. Now it's HBO Go. Then it's just Max. Now it's HBO Max. I have no idea. It's hard to keep up with for sure, but that's neither here nor there, I suppose.
Yeah. I've gone on a soapbox about that a time or two, just how they got to change it, and then you got to download the new app, and then it signs you out, so you got to sign in, and then you don't remember your password, and then you have to hit the forget password, and then you put in the wrong phone number. That's a whole thing.
Didn't I say, what was it, a couple weeks ago, I'm just tired of being told, download the app?
Yeah, you did say that a couple weeks ago.
That's evergreen sound, man. You can play that anytime you want. Anytime you want. All right, he is Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Loaded show for you here today. Terry Dosh, legendary head coach of the Aberdeen Roncalli football squad. He is stepping down, of course, retiring anyway. He's not been the head coach for the last couple of years. Of course, Billy Young has been at the controls. But Terry Dosh, of course, still a part of the school system and retiring after 40 years, sometime there with Falkton. A lot of his time, though, certainly with Aberdeen Roncalli right here in the Hub City. We'll reminisce on his time here with the Cavaliers and his coaching career and his teaching career. And to be honest, I'm really looking forward to today's show, man. I think it should be a really fun discussion. I don't know if you've ever met Coach Dosh in person before. Super nice guy. And this should just be a lot of fun today.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing a little research. Looks like he was coaching football there for a while, 32 years at Roncalli, and another five there at Falkton. A lot of history and a lot of winning as well. So looking forward to this discussion here with Coach Dosh, meeting him for the first time.
All right, that's coming up here in the next 10 minutes or so. Also at the top of the hour, I mean literally the top of the hour, we've got your Minnesota Twins baseball coverage starting up right here. As typically, we've got a bit of a long extended pregame show, but you know, we've got Coach Dosh here in studio, said we're going to go ahead and go with the local coverage there, and then we'll get to first pitch at 11:05. So pregame coverage, maybe a minute or two of that before first pitch at 11:05, but right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 2:35 for your first pitch for Game 2, as the Twins and Orioles will do it up for a twin bill today in Baltimore. He's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward for this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And You know, Matt, I just tweeted this out here not that long ago. Of course, today is the NFL schedule release. It's been kind of a slow drip. We talked about that yesterday. The Vikings are going to be across the pond for a couple games. We knew that the opener was Dallas and Philadelphia. More news coming out here today. Looks like Chiefs and Cowboys for Thanksgiving, which could be entertaining there too. And now you get all the leaks from team sources and what have you. Of course, these nameless team sources. And they'll never put their name attached to these games, but you'll see a Week 7. It'll be Cardinals and Steelers, or, you know, Week 13 is going to be the Bengals against the Colts or something like that. And I thought to myself, I don't like the slow drip. I don't like the leaks. Just give it to me all at the same time tonight at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever it is. It's like putting a puzzle piece together. I don't personally like that. Maybe that's a hot take, but stop with the slow leak. Give me the whole thing so I can digest the whole thing. Is that a hot take?
I mean, I think I agree with you for the most part, because you have a day set for the schedules to come out, and we're hearing about it before the schedules are supposed to come out. You want to leak Thursday night's game, the Eagles-Cowboys, the first Monday night game, first Sunday night football game, like the primetime games, I'm cool with it, but can we just keep it in-house on a Week 7, who you're playing? I'm kind of with you on that, but yeah, man, it's tough just because, like you said, the X, it's a flood of different teams. I mean, I saw a leak this morning of Week 1. I saw another leak that, oh, we got a Super Bowl rematch Week 2. It's just, it's too much to keep track of. Do it all one day, I'm with you. Or how about you just say Monday night is the day to do it instead of Wednesday, because everybody's talking about it anyway and dropping games.
Yeah, it's frustrating to me. And I know there's some people out there in maybe like the blogosphere or podcasters elsewhere, they're like, I love the leaks. I'm putting together a puzzle piece or something like that. Then when you get all that done, you find out, well, that game that you were told for Week 4, that's actually the Week 9 game. So it's just like, how much of this is true? How much of it is misinformation, disinformation? You hear those two words all the time.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's just too much. Just give me the whole thing all in one sitting.
Yeah, do it on a Monday.
Yeah.
Because that way everybody can talk about it.
All week.
Instead of a little bit Monday, a little bit Tuesday, a little bit this morning. And I'll be tuned in, seeing what my Ravens schedule looks like. But here's another leak for you. I saw their first Monday night football game this year. So I don't know.
Packers, I thought?
Yeah, I saw that. Packers. That's another leak that came out. I'm cool with doing the, like I said, I'm cool with doing the big games, like the big games.
Primetime.
Yeah, primetime games. I'm cool with that, but let's not leak the whole Week 4 schedule for me, please.
Yeah, I know. It's just a little bit much. And same thing, I saw the Seahawks are playing the 49ers. Well, first it was the Rams, then that was not true. And now they're saying 49ers for Week 1, could be the Steelers for Week 2. You just get into this fog of war, and you're like, what's true, what's not? I don't know. It's just too
much. Plus, they give you the teams you're playing earlier, so who cares when you're playing them Week 1 or Week 7? That's the way I look at it.
Okay. That's interesting, because I'm a little opposite. I love the opening day sort of festivities that go along with the NFL, like when Russell Wilson came back to Seattle for that first game.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah, it doesn't feel like a Week 9 game. It feels like Week 1. Let's rip that Band-Aid off.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I kind of waffle on that one.
Okay.
But to your point, I mean, you know who you're playing anyways.
Yeah.
Just depends on whether that's September or October or whatever. But definitely interesting. Looking forward to that here tonight. On the local side of things, this one came out here yesterday. Allison Myrink, how many times have we talked about her and her battles with Olivia Braun over the last handful of years? Well, she wrapped up her first day at the NAIA National Championships. Of course, she won the GPAC here not that long ago. She carded a 6-over par 78, sitting tied for 32nd out of the field. Over 150 competitors are in that. And you know what? Tied for 32nd out of over 150 as a freshman? That's not too shabby at all for the young buck from Mitchell.
Not surprised at all. And like you said, that's not too bad at all. Being in probably the top 30, I mean, it's tough to play solid golf in those tournaments just with, you know, sometimes the star power, some upperclassmen. You're kind of a new freshman and you're trying to make a name, and you're certainly doing that, finishing in the top 30 there, or top 35, top 32. So nice job there for Myrink. Like we said, we've been following her high school career a little bit, and good to see her being successful at the next level.
Sounds like her day was reminiscent from some of our days. 6-3 putts.
Yeah.
6-3 putts for her, an unusually high number given her steady putting performance typically. This is from the D-Dub website there. Most are unexpected, save for the notorious pin position on hole 5, which drew widespread criticism from players and fans alike. Social media posts featuring that have garnered over 100,000 views on social media. Very, very challenging hole, apparently, but she's back in action here today, and just want to wish her nothing but the best, and good luck going forward to the freshman there from Mitchell, the Colonel now playing, of course, her college ball there at Dakota Wesleyan. A loaded Tuesday in terms of high school track and field. You can check it all out on our website, hubcityradio.com. Some boys tennis action there yesterday. Aberdeen Central collectively finishing in fifth place out of 9 teams at the ESD tournament there. High school boys tennis action. But again, you sent me something here this morning, Matt, and it's so true. More often than not, you join the Sports Hub. Good things typically happen for you. We had a duels day installment of the Hub there yesterday, and they basically laughed past Elkton Lake Benton yesterday night. 16 to rip. Katrina Hagberg, 4 ribbies at the dish. That's all basically you'd need to win the ball game anyway. But not too shabby. You pointed out to me, hey, 14 strikeouts if you need them inside the circle there last night.
Yeah, and Hagberg, she's just been dominant in the circle. I mean, we talked to Coach yesterday. Games where she had 20 strikeouts, 17, 16. She just mows hitters down, and that's just such an advantage at the high school level. If you have pitching, you're going to go far, and that dual team has pitching. And it's interesting to hear Coach talk about just how early they got them kind of started. Travel, softball, things of that, when it wasn't a sanctioned sport. So in that area, Clear Lake, Castlewood's another really good team, that like kind of Watertownish area. They're really good in softball, and shout out to Duel with a nice win there yesterday.
They have had a really, really solid performance. And oh, by the way, high school track and field, they did pretty good there too. He had head coach tweet on the program there yesterday. You can check out the individual notes for them, as they, of course, were at the LCC meet, if memory serves. Their boys, they won first place. So good stuff. Check out hubcityradio.com for full and complete details there. Upcoming next, Terry Dosh, the head coach. I'll say head coaching legend. Why not? That works, certainly, as he won a lot of games over his time at Roncalli and Falkton alike. He'll be joining us live in studio. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Pleased to be joined, I think, for the first time live in studio with Terry Dosh. Right?
I think so, to the best of my knowledge. I don't remember being out here with you guys before.
Yeah, we've had you on the show a boatload of times, but never here in studio. So this is it. This is where all the magic happens.
All right, except, you know, the decor's a little lacking. I don't see any Dallas Cowboys paraphernalia.
Yeah, you know.
I don't see any Notre Dame paraphernalia.
You know, none of that either.
And only one little tennis hat from Ron Collins.
Yeah, Coach Haskell brought that out for us.
I'm like, Solberg should be throwing some stuff out here to you.
You know? You would think. I mean, he's probably got some garb from his time.
He must, you know, and I don't know. He and I talked quite a bit over the years, so yeah, I made up a lot of stuff when I talked to him.
Well, that's, again, I told you off there, that's like 64% of our show is just making stuff up. We used to have a lot of presentation college stuff in here, too. Of course, that closed down, so we kind of took that out, but you know, our boss is, he's a Vikings fan. He, you know, appreciates the Twins. So, yeah, we got a lot of Vikings stuff in here. You're not a Vikings fan, though. You said Cowboys?
You know, I generally like whoever the Vikings are playing, unless it's the Philadelphia Eagles. We don't like them.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, he's a Ravens fan over here.
Yep.
I'm a Seahawks fan. So both of our teams are usually pretty decent, but just not quite great lately.
So does that mean you also like the Browns?
No. Well, I do, but I understand where you're going with there.
Yeah, my dad hates the Ravens, loves the Browns. He calls them the Ratbirds. I don't know if I ever told you that before.
Ratbirds, that's good.
Yeah, he's not a big fan of that. Well, Terry Dosh joins us here live in studio, and I figured 40 years, it'd be a great opportunity to have you in studio. Why not 41 or go for 42? You said this is going to be the time to kind of hang it up after your teaching career, and obviously you've gotten out of coaching here for the most part. I know you kind of dabble here and there, but why is this the time that you're saying, you know what, that's it for me?
Well, you know, First of all, it's actually 45 years of teaching.
Okay.
I was at Falkton for 5, and I've been at Roncalli for 40. And, you know, it just, you know when it's time. And I, for the most part, enjoy what I'm doing every day. I like being at school. I like being around the kids. But I also am looking forward to not having to be there if I don't want to be. So, you know, hey, if there's a Bachman-Turner, you know, Overdrive concert somewhere, and it's like, hey, do you want to work tomorrow? Nope, I'm going to Fargo, you know, or, you know, whatever it is. And I've got 13 grandchildren, so, you know, they've got some things that are going on, and sometimes opportunities to go and be with them or see them just aren't really all that accessible when you have to go to school or get to go to school.
Does it kind of come up suddenly then, or kind of spur of the moment, or
no,
were you thinking about it the last couple of years? Or
I would say, yeah, like every year people are like, well, you're going to retire? No, because first of all, I don't really have a lot of hobbies. You know, I don't golf. I don't fish, except once in a while my brother-in-law will string me along for a day and entertain me, or I'll, you know, make a fool of myself. So I'm like, well, I don't know what else I would do, you know, all day long. Plus, it's like, well, if you don't teach, then what? You get a job. Nothing wrong with working at Walmart or Menards, but you still have to be on somebody's schedule. And I don't really want to be on anybody's schedule, at least not right at the moment. And, you know, teaching is a pretty good gig. And actually, I have kindergarten through fifth grade PE right now. Okay. So I don't actually work. I just play games with little kids all day. So, you know, I mean, like, they're paying me pretty good money to play dodgeball, tag, kickball. Sure. You know, it's like, hey, yeah, I don't correct papers, no homework.
No grading tests.
No grading tests, yeah.
Not bad.
If I were a coach, I'd probably be doing the exact same thing. Or if I were a teacher, I mean, I got to read through 30, like, essays. I'm not into that.
I did that for a long time, and I'm like, you know, if I was still in a regular classroom, I probably would have already retired. Especially, you know, with my incredible technological prowess, you know, I just eat all that stuff up. So, yeah.
Yeah, you strike me as a guy that really throws the ball hard at kids for a game of dodgeball. Is that accurate or no?
Depends on the kid. How annoying they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you lipped off yesterday. Whoom.
Yeah, there you go. I'm curious, Terry Dosh here in the studio. Did you always want to be a teacher? I mean, we'll get into the coaching stuff later, I'm sure. But, you know, when you were in high school, when you were in college, when you were kind of wrapping up your time, were you thinking, you know, I really want to get into teaching? Or is that something that kind of called you? Did you kind of fall into it? How did that even kind of work out for you?
You know, I think early on, like even in grade school, junior high, high school, I thought I would like to teach and coach. I love sports. I like history. I like trivia. And, you know, I just like those sorts of things. Although I will tell you that for a little while, I was thinking about maybe going into mass communications and look at Brown Institute for, you know, a little bit. And then it's like, you know, I'm not sure that's where my heart is. And I'm not sure that I want to do the hours that I know sometimes you have to. I don't want to be in the studio at 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay, that's prime sleeping time. Or, you know, or
neither do we sometimes.
10 o'clock at night, you know. I mean, I love Mark Ovenden, but I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be working at that particular time. And then I got a scholarship to Northern, an academic one, and I'm like, well, hey, I'll go there. And my sweetheart was still in high school back in Ipswich, so I'm like, yeah, I think I'll stick around here.
So you mentioned that you were at Roncalli and Falkton. Were you, this is probably a dumb question, but did you start at Roncalli, then go to Faulkton? How did that?
No, sir. I was at Faulkton when I graduated from college, 1980, and was there from 80 to 85. Then in the fall of 85, I started at Roncalli, and they have been able to get rid of me since.
Well, it's all worked out for you. You've had a tremendous career, I think, at both places. I think people probably know you more for Roncalli, but I'm sure the people at Faulkton still, that Dosh guy, we remember him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how can they forget? I want to talk about your time at Northern State, if we can.
Sure.
I'm sure you're still around those student-athletes to a certain degree. Maybe Coach Schmidt invites you in, or maybe Coach Paul Sather had you over there. I know you used to coach there a little bit at NSU. How have you seen the student-athletes kind of change over your time? I know you did predominantly high school stuff from your coaching perspective, but also kind of had your big toe in the pool there for college there too. How have you seen kind of the student-athletes change in your time?
Well, I think, first of all, a question that I always get is, well, are kids different today than they used to be? And, you know, technically, no. Okay. My impression is that kids will get away with what they can get away with. They will generally either live up to or down to what you expect of them. Now, other parts of society, especially parents, have changed a great deal, which in turn has brought about changes in coaching. You know, when I got to Northern, actually, that was kind of an impromptu thing. I had gotten out of coaching at Roncalli and was at a wedding during the summer for Jared Jacobson. And he and my son played college football together and were good buddies. And Coach Tom Dosh was at the wedding also. And this is getting kind of late in the summer. And he's like, hey, why don't you come and help us? I could use a little help. And we got a spot that I think you could slide into. And I'm like, oh, goodness. And so I chatted with Jill, my wife, a little bit. And she's like, yeah, I think that would be good because, to be honest with you, I don't think you're really ready to be done coaching. And she said, but there's one stipulation. She liked going out to Sturgis to the rally, and I'd never been there. And she said, yeah, he has to give you 3 days off during fall camp so we can go to the rally. So I said, well, Tom, here's the deal. This is what Jill said. And he's like, yeah, we can do that. Or as Tom says, yeah, we can do that. And so when I got there, it was interesting. You know, it's you can have different kinds of conversations with college kids. I'm sure their impression of me sometimes was like, what's up with this guy? You know, because if they're dropping F-bombs and stuff, I'm like, no, you can't do that. And they're like, whoa. I'm like, no, that's not okay. And but it gave me an opportunity to get to know them. And I've kept a lot of contact with a number of them throughout the years. Also have done some stuff with Coach Rocky in the wrestling, and have had a chance to go in and chat with Coach Kruger's girls a couple of times on some things, some philosophy. And, you know, I don't know how much college athletes have changed, except, you know, they're getting a little bit bigger, a little bit faster, a little bit stronger maybe all the time. But, you know, young people are young people. And, again, I think if you demand a lot of them, you'll get a lot out of them. And if you don't expect them to do much or to fail, they'll probably do that also.
Did you feel like you could be a little bit harder on those college athletes maybe than the high school from a standpoint of just kind of they're kind of young adults?
You know, interesting thing there. So my role was a lot different there.
Okay.
I'm probably the lowest person on the totem pole,
sure,
so to speak, that's there. And Coach Tom, shortly in, was like, well, what do you think? I said, well, actually, I'm enjoying it. I said, I've spent almost 40 years being the bad cop, okay? I'm the one that's telling you, you know, you're not playing or whatever. And yeah, I think most of my athletes would probably say I coached hard and am relatively intense. I said, now here, I get to be the good cop. I said, you chew some kid's butt. I come along, slap him on the shoulder and say, ah, don't worry about it. He's a little grumpy. His wife made him sleep on the couch. And he'd be like, yeah, I bet you say that. Well, sure, somebody got to, you know. So I feel like I tried to be always a voice of reason. I've always tried to motivate as best as I can and, you know, talk to kids about where they're from and what's going on in their lives. And so I would say my role there was definitely different. You know, I frequently told a couple of my assistants, okay, today is going to be a challenging day at practice. So you need to make sure that when I get after somebody, you make sure that they understand that they're still valued because I'm probably going to bark at this guy today or at this group of people because I heard about something that happened this weekend that I don't think was conducive to us being a good football team. So you can come along and smooth them over, Coach Breeze, because I'm going to rough them up a little bit.
There you go. Terry Dosh here in the studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Let's take a break in the action. I'm curious about a couple of things in particular, and one of them would be the Cavalier special. We'll talk about that and much more coming up next on The Huddle. Sports Up continues. Fox Sports Aberdeen, Terry Dosh live in studio alongside Matt McClure and David Tewksbury. Again, thanks for taking some time out of your schedule and joining us and doing this. We're going to talk about the Cavalier special here in just a second, but I'm curious about your coaching influences and who you kind of learned, not necessarily to coach from, but, you know, maybe you read a couple of books here or there, or maybe just being around multiple sports and what have you. How did you kind of find your voice as a head coach?
Well, I feel like I had some really good coaches that were good people and good mentors for me when I was in high school. Starting my junior year of high school, we got a young man out of Huron College. His name was Rick Wall. And he had played quarterback down there. And, you know, our program in Ipswich had struggled. Like my freshman and sophomore years, we went 0-15 and 1. And so when Coach Wall came in, he brought some fresh air, some enthusiasm, some confidence that we didn't have. And my junior and senior years, we were conference champions. And, you know, so I felt like I connected with him well. I had a track coach named Bill Rankschmidt who had a lot of influence on me also. You know, and I think I learned and worked hard with them at Northern. I did not play football at Northern. But I would say, you know, at Northern, Dr. Kretschmann, Coach Kretschmann, was a great influence. I had a lot of coaching classes with him, and I learned a great deal about just dealing with kids and being relational, and that you can be tough or firm or whatever words you might want to use, but you can still be relational with athletes, and that was important. And then when, you know, I got the job at Fulton kind of out of nowhere, when I signed my contract, it had girls basketball and assistant wrestling on it. And I talked to Coach Kretschmann about that, and I'm like, you know, I'm a wrestler. I don't, you know, I took theory of basketball with Coach Walks and Bob Olson, but he's like, well, I'm just going to tell you, Fulton's a really good town, good community. I didn't realize at the time that's where he was from. And he said, get your foot in the door and something might work out. Well, about a week and a half before the season started, I get a call from the superintendent. And he said, hey, our football coach just resigned to take a principal's job in Coleman. And we feel like we have a guy that we just hired. His name was Arlen Wallaber, who could probably coach basketball. Would you be interested in football? I'm like, oh, thank you, God. When I got to Falkton, I worked with two gentlemen that were tremendous. Jerry Fisher, who Coach Fisher, I think, turned 77 yesterday, so happy birthday. And Rod Newman. And they had been there a long time, but they did not want to be the head coach. And I leaned on them a lot. I learned from them a lot. Maybe I brought them a little new energy, just this wet behind the ears kid. And also I brought with me then some influence from a guy by the name of Don Hotchkiss. He was a coach in Ipswich after I graduated, but I got to know him well. When I was in college, he let me come out and help with them. I stole some things out of his playbook, some things out of my high school playbook. I don't mind drawing things up in the dirt, much to the consternation of some people. What do you mean you don't have, 20 scripted plays? I don't. Okay. Those guys all together kind of meshed. And then I'm going to throw in some influence of a man by the name of Dan Dosh Sr., my dad, who was, he didn't grow up in a sports world, but he grew up in a, you're going to work hard, you're going to do things right, you're not going to be an idiot most of the time. Sometimes I was, I'm sure. So I think his influence, even though it wasn't sport, kind of shaped maybe my personality as a coach, which some people might like, and some probably were like, yeah, I could do without him.
So it kind of sounds, you were kind of thrown in the fire, did it take a while to kind of get settled in right away there?
It's kind of crazy because it just happened and it just fit. They had a couple of seasons where they really struggled to win some games. And we came in, we had a good group of kids who bought into hard work. Our playbook was pretty thin, and you still got to have like a couple hours practice. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to condition, and we're going to do a lot of fundamental things. And we're going to do what we do, and we're going to do it over and over until, we can master it to whatever degree you can do that. And just had great kids and great coaches that worked with me. And I don't know, it just worked and it just fit. And I realized that, I'm very fortunate. Until I came to Northern, I'd never been an assistant football coach. I mean, maybe in college you might kind of consider that an assistant, but I was more of a volunteer, and I did a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a lot of other stuff. And I don't know exactly why, but just through the grace of God, it worked out, and I had a wonderful career.
Terry Dosh here in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Again, I told you off the air, on the air, that I'm not originally from here, so I was doing everything I could to kind of get immersed in the teams and the coaching staffs and all that. And I'll never forget, I was driving back from Groton. I was doing a Redfield-Groton game, one of my first years here. And then after my game was over, I'm driving back to Aberdeen. I was listening to Pheasant Country 103, listening to Scott Solberg call the game. And he just starts freaking out. He just starts going, Cavalier special, Cavalier special. He's like going like full on Jim Ross in WWF. And I'm like, what is a Cavalier special? And, he talked me through it, after the next day or whatever, and because I was curious, what is a Cavalier special? It's a trick play, right? I mean, by and large, sometimes there's different trick plays that go along with it, but can you unpack the Cavalier special and where does that kind of come from?
Well, I know people would say trick play. On the other hand, it kind of is, but I would more refer to it as a gadget play. And I'm a big fan of those. And because I feel like they keep the opponents, you know, a little bit off their guard, and they got to pay attention, and maybe they're not if they think they got to stop that play, maybe they're not working on something that they actually need to do. It came from high school. It was the Tiger special. And, you know, we ran it, I don't know how often, but we ran it. Came from, you know, I don't know where Coach Wall got it. Probably, I mean, there's not too much new. Coaches are copycats, and, you know, if something works, we're going to do it. You know, you don't have no idea how many times on Monday I'm like, hey, I saw this play last night. Yeah, we're going to do this in practice today, and we're going to see if maybe we can't put in one thing this week that nobody's ever seen, at least us do. So Cavalier special is pretty simple. You know, starts out as a sweep, got a little reverse, throw it back to the quarterback, leak the man that made the first block leading the toss. He leaks out down the sideline. Tight end releases, backside wide receiver releases. The guy that was carrying the ball is supposed to get tackled or throw a block. Throw it back to the quarterback who throws it downfield to the guy that's wide open. And that really works well in high school, especially, you know. Sometimes high school players are not as disciplined, maybe as college or professional. And, you know, you watch the NFL and sometimes that stuff doesn't work. It will also work in college because people have certain keys and they react. It's probably a little bit harder to sell. You can't probably run them as often as with that. But, you know, I don't know. And it's kind of weird because we never really practiced it. You know, we might throw it in once in a while. We used to always go to SDSU's team camp in the summer. And Coach Stiglmeyer, you know, he's pretty conservative in the basic approach, although later on he became kind of a riverboat gambler with a lot of stuff and came up with some kind of cool little plays too. But he'd always be like, are you running that Cavalier special? Well, Coach, yeah, and I don't understand why you don't. That's because that's communist football. It gets guys like me fired. And I'm like, no. It's fun football, which leads to enthusiastic football, which leads to good football. And he's like, yeah, which sign did you read that off of? You know, I'm not sure, but I saw it somewhere. I didn't just make it up.
Maybe it was in your restroom or something. Maybe you put it up there or something
and,
like that.
You know, the funny thing is we would like we had a kid named Pat Ebert who played at Sisseton. And then when he was at Northern, I hired him on as an assistant coach. And he's like, you know, we spent this much every time we're playing you. You know, we're going over it, and you got to watch this, you got to watch this. And, you know, yeah. And so, like, I'm like, well, I don't know. That means you weren't practicing whatever it is that Redmond football is because you have to worry about it. And you could always hear people, now watch out for this. Or, you know, there were games where we ran it two or three times in the same game, and there were game stretches where, you know, we never ran it for, you know, a month or whatever. Just like, you know, every once in a while you throw it out or little hook and ladders. Or we actually ran a hook and ladder to our center. His name was Matt Schlosser. And pretty good athlete. Threw a little, probably about a 10-yard curl to Braden McNary. And here comes Matt around the corner. Braden pitches it to him. Picked up about 45 yards. You know, not bad for an offensive lineman trucking down there. Guard around. You know, we love that play. And, yeah, you just try to do stuff to maybe make people think. And then maybe they're not so worried about the other stuff that actually helps you win the football game. Because I also got called a guy that has the imagination of a stick. Because we, in a state championship game, we ran a quarterback sneak like 15 times. And I'm like,
it's working.
Well, dude, they don't cover the center. And if you're paying attention, we're averaging 13 yards a carry. Okay. So why would we run other stuff? Now, if they change, we'll change. But if they don't, I mean, I don't feel like I'm the one that's not being intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to run the annexation of Puerto Rico, that's pretty cool too. I mean, I don't know if that's a little Giants reference. I don't know if you got that one. But, you know, it's like sometimes offensive coordinators, they just want to outsmart themselves or show everybody else how smart they are. It's like, look at this new gadget play. It's like -3, -4, -1. It's just like, just do what gets you yards. And it worked out for you guys pretty well there. Final break here. We've got kind of a couple minutes left to go. We'll wrap things up with Terry Dosh after this. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Minnesota Twins first pitch coming up shortly after the top of the hour. Terry Dosh joining us here live in studio. And again, thanks for taking some time out of your schedule and joining us here. You know, we're talking off the air about state championships and that sort of thing. Obviously, it's tough to leave coaching. You know, winning state championships, I'm sure, is great. Kind of a two-part question, maybe the final one before we get you out of here. What's it like being at the top of the mountain, a state champion, and what are you going to miss the most about teaching and coaching and all the like?
Well, you know, to be at the top of the mountain, so to speak, is awesome, obviously, because you're achieving goals that you have set for yourself. And, you know, it's a lot of fun, although sometimes it can also be like a bit of a relief. You know, it's more like, whoo, rather than, yeah. But, you know, Coach Beck and I do say that we invented the fist bump or at least a version of it in 2005 when we won our first state championship, because he had been in a car accident and he had a cane. So after the game, he comes up and he sticks his cane out at me, and I hit it with a fist, and there's a picture of it in the paper. So we say we invented the fist bump. What I will miss most is easy. It's relationships, and I can't hardly grasp how many tremendous people I've been able to meet, to work with, to make friendships with. It blows me away how many kids that I coached still reach out and we talk. And, you know, I'm sure they never would have imagined in their lives that they'd be friends with me. And or even to show you, so there's one of the coaches at the school now is Brady Lesner, who's from Webster, Webster was really good in football, okay? And huge rivals. And they did not like Ron Colley, not even a tiny bit, okay? Well, I'm the godfather to his son, Hank. And he's like, I said, well, what if somebody would have told you that in high school? He's like, no way. And just the relationships, the friendships that you forge. And I worry a little bit about that, because I like seeing who I'm seeing, and you always say, yep, we'll talk, but you know it's going to be different, and you really have to make an effort.
Terry Dosh, thanks so much for popping in studio. It's been a pleasure having you here. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Sorry I rambled.
You're A-OK. Twins baseball next.